Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Wednesday to you. I feel good. How about you? Now check that. I feel great. Feels great to be here on this Wednesday. Let's get it done. Lots to get to. Wednesday is always a big day because we load it up both on the air and then after the program. Cell phone number is toll free. My first interview is not till 9:40, so you can call right now. In fact, you should call right now. 1-800-636-8686. Operator standing by. Hit us up, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to hit me up on the X platform, that works. I'll be there soon enough. This program will be there soon enough. So go ahead, get into it, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So the interviews look like this, a little bit different. Coming up at 9:40, Outland Trophy winner, Tavondre Sweat, defensive tackle out of Texas, joins us. Coming up at the top of the hour, hour number two, so we go back to back. The VP and GM of the Philadelphia Phillies, Sam Fold. I like that. So those two interviews are back to back. Wednesday is an ATP day. Wednesday is a Jim Rome podcast day. We're going to push out episode 307 of the Jim Rome podcast. My guest will be former NBAer Mike Miller. Looking forward to getting caught up with him. So I've got all of that, and I'm looking for your phone calls. You know we're locked. We're loaded. We have what we want to get to. Now I just need to hear from you. You have your phone number. Go ahead and use it. Now, because we're in the midst of the madness, I thought I would start right here. A shout out to the BBN, Big Blue Nation. For those of you not in the know, that is the Kentucky Wildcat Nation, BBN, Big Blue Nation. Nobody like them. Come to find out, BBN, you can't always get what you want, especially when what you want comes with a 34.968 mil price tag.
34.968. 34.968. 34.
I'll just round that up. 35. You don't always get what you want, especially when it comes with a 34.968 mil price tag. And especially when you want, when what you want is to throw down that much paper for the privilege of running your legendary head coach through the wood chipper. That 34.968 mil is, of course, the buyout for one John Calipari. Should Cal be removed without cause from leading the BBN, it would cost Kentucky that much money. Obviously, that's a big reason why Cal is not going anywhere, and he's not. But it's not the only reason. It's not the only reason I think that Kentucky just made the right move in keeping him. AD Mitch Barnhart made that announcement on X. He's not going anywhere. Clearly, Kentucky had no interest in paying this guy 35 mil to go away. And I understand why they had no interest in paying that dude nearly 35 mil to just go away. If you paid any attention to the reporting over the last week, it really never did seem that sweaty for Cal in the end. I know some of you, a chunk of you in the BBN, wanted it very badly. But when you look at it logically, it never really was a thing. Cal was not nearly as close to the guillotine as some of you in the BBN were assuming or hoping. Because even before his meeting with AD Mitch Barnhart, our guy Matt Norlander was reporting that the focus of their conversation would be, quote, significant program improvements, not necessarily separation. End of quote. And per usual, my dude nailed it. He was dead on, because there will be no separation. BBN, you can consider it not a divorce.
Consider that a divorce.
Not a divorce.
Consider that a divorce.
Not a divorce.
Consider that a divorce.
There will be no new Kentucky head coach this offseason, and personally, I agree with that. I agree with that decision, and not just because I like Cal, not just because Cal and I go way back. Lexington, you know I would not do you like that, because as much as I like Cal, I also love Lex Vegas. You know I love you. I wouldn't try to tell you that a dude who was not up to the big job should stay in the big job just because he and I go way back. If I thought that he was not the right dude to lead the Big Blue Nation, I would tell you that. I would be the first one to tell you that. And I'm telling you the opposite. He's still the right guy for that gig. He is still Kentucky basketball. He still runs talent through that town like no other coach in no other town in America. And don't even try to deny that, Kentucky fan. You can act like that doesn't matter. You can act like all you care about is the bottom line and how far that team gets in the tournament. But the reality is, Cal keeps a world-class talent pipeline flowing through Rupp Arena. And the pipeline is still flowing. And that should not be something that you take for granted or just sweep to the side. Considering nearly every other program is still jealous of that talent pipeline. Obviously, the man can still recruit. Obviously, he still wants to recruit and still does the work. Now, having said all that, I get that talent alone is not enough. I get that there are other tweaks and adjustments that he has to make as he gets older and as the game rapidly evolves around him. I understand that. But if you listen to what he and Mitch Barnhart are saying, he is open to those tweaks and adjustments. He wants to do the deep work. He wants to continue to evolve as a coach and grow that program. He's still fired up. He still cares. He still wants to be there. If the guy were mailing it in, that'd be something totally different. He is taking it all in. He's not mailing it in. And he's listening to the feedback. This is not a situation where you have some legendary old head who's holding a program hostage long after he's lost his magic. And he won't change. And he won't evolve. And he won't listen to any outside input. And he's just happy to drive the program into the ground. It's not Cal. It's not even remotely close to Cal. The big problem for Cal, and I addressed this last week, but the problem for Cal is that that Oakland loss, as happy as I was for them, and that was a great story, because I had both coaches on, and I loved them both. I was conflicted. But the big problem for Cal is that Oakland loss, and not only that in a vacuum, but given what's transpired in recent years, that loss to Oakland was totally unacceptable. Mm-hmm.
Totally trash.
I'm telling you, man, I got the worst case of jungle Tourette's. Mm-hmm. It gets worse every single day. I think I have it worse than any of you. That loss to Oakland was totally unacceptable. BBN, you don't want to accept that loss. I get that. And I have not blamed you for that. I'm not saying you're wrong for that. You should be pissed. You should be angry about that. Because that was unacceptable. That cannot happen. You should not accept that loss, and neither should Cal. And it can't happen because it's now happened twice in 3 years. It's incredibly hard to justify going 4 years as the Kentucky head coach with just one NCAA tournament win to show for it. Especially this time, though, when you had that crazy talent and the coach himself was talking up how this team is built for March. Cal appeared on this very show before the tournament began and said, and again, this was just a few days before the entire season went up in flames. Cal had this to say about his team.
I'm looking at this team saying what I've said for how many weeks? We're built for March. Let's go. Let's prove it.
Exactly. Let's go. Let's prove it.
Let's go. Let's prove it.
You're coaching Kentucky. You better be built for March. And you better be ready to prove it every single year.
Let's prove it.
And that's the part that's missing right now. That's the part that has to improve. That can't happen. That's unacceptable. Period. Full stop. No qualifier.
Period.
No but. Period. That can't happen. But it did. Again. Having said that, so just so we're clear on that, I understand that can't happen, but it did. If he gets knocked out by a 14 or a 15 again, it will be the end. He won't survive three first-round exits in 4 years, nor should he survive three first-round exits in 4 years. If Cal gets knocked out on the first 2 days again next year, I will fly out to Lexington and pick my dude up and drive him to the airport myself. I would do that for you, BBN. But it says here I'm not going to have to. As long as he owns that failure, and I don't care what Giannis or anybody else says, they failed. But as long as he owns it and does not point any more fingers and does the hard work on himself and his program the way he says he will, then you bring him back and it's a no-brainer. Let me just remind you that even with his recent struggles in March, the man has the fifth most wins in NCAA tournament history. Here's the list of coaches who have more tournament wins. Coach K, Roy Williams, Dean Smith, Jim Boeheim. That's it. So remember, BBN, remember that's who we're talking about as you get your pitchforks out. And you're running up the hill looking for dude's head on a stick. Also remember who you have to replace. All right, that's the other thing, right? We all understand that there are a lot of you who are out on Cal. But who do you get to come in and pick up where he leaves off if you move him now? Who are the actual candidates that could legitimately, believably be an improvement over John Calipari? These are tough questions. These are questions the Kentucky Athletic Department had no interest in trying to figure out. Not at $35 million. They were not going to pay $35 million to try to answer these tough questions. And deep down, BBN, I know you all struggled with that question as well. Admit it. All right, great. You're going to break him off. Awfully big of you to break him off. It's not your money. It's not your $35 million. But all right, fine. Who are you going to bring in? Who's going to replace that guy? Admit it. You're more split on this than you're letting on. Even your NBA alumni are divided. Boogie Cousins and Rajon Rondo had a little debate on their Bully Ball podcast. Remember, Boogie is the only one of these two that actually played for Cal. And check out his argument for why it was the right move to keep him.
When I got there, the standard wasn't championship. When we got there, it was championship or bust.
It still was Kentucky basketball.
And I'm not changing that. I'm not saying
the Boston Celtics or the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, we're not talking about the Detroit Pistons.
And even those franchises have dry spells. That's the point I'm making.
They did. You're right. It ain't easy to win. You're right.
It's not. So I don't understand how we get to the point where our next best option is to replace this coach. That doesn't even make – with what? Revenue is going to go down. Everything that Calipari brings to a program is going to go down if they replace this guy. Everything is going down.
I disagree with that.
Cousins was good.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Boogie was pretty impassioned. He was pretty fired up. And I know that Rondo disagrees, but I think it's hard to disagree with the point that Boogie is making. He said, if you get rid of Cal, everything goes down. It's going to be hard for anybody to fill those shoes and maintain that standard. Again, if they get blown out early on by a much lower seed next year, I'm not going to sit here and say, this guy can stay as long as he wants. I'm not even going to say that right now. But clearly, the athletic department agrees that he does deserve another shot and that they don't want to pay $35 million to find out who can fill those shoes. And I'm with them on that. Sorry, BBN. It's not only for the best. It is the right decision. You guys don't all have to turn into a bunch of John Chaneys back in the day. Coach Chaney used to come on the show, too. I used to love talking to him. But you don't all need to turn into him because that's not the answer. That's never the answer. Neither is crashing your own BBN message boards with all your smack. You don't get your way this time, but you will get your way if this dude does not start producing better March results immediately, like starting next year. And that's all you ever wanted anyway, right, BBN? I'm not saying that it's not broken. However, I'm also not saying that it's not beyond repair. It's not irreparable. It can be fixed. I still believe that he is the guy to fix it. Given what he's accomplished there, I know this much. He deserves another chance. The man deserves another chance. Keep Cal. It's the right move. And it's not because he and I go way back. It's because it's the right move. You know, if you want to make the argument that they're only doing it for the money, yes. But then again, it's not your money, is it, BBN? You're all pretty liberal with the university's money. Now, there might be some big, big boosters listening right now saying, actually, Rome, it is my money. Yeah, one or two of you, maybe. It is a lot of money. Listen, that's not an easy gig. He also talked about it on this show when he says actually aging in dog years.
It's dog years here. It's
seven. Right.
So you know, understand I'm over 100 right now. But what I would say, we have the greatest fans that are really engaged, that travel, that watch the tape twice, that are showing and come to every game. We lead the nation in attendance, but they're also engaged when we lose. But that's a small sliver. And let me tell you, a friend of mine told me this the other day. Everybody's negative about everything now. So it's not just our fans. I mean, it's everybody. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. Someone wants to argue. And what I've tried to do is just stay above it. And if they're hitting me in the mouth, I'd rather them hit me than my team and these young kids. And then the other side of it is when they come at me, you can't do this. You know what I say? I agree. Can we move on now? I agree with you. You know, but it doesn't make it easier, but you're right. My guess, you and I would say Greg Campy should be offered a couple jobs after this year. And he should have been offered jobs in the last 10 years. But really good coach, really great guy. I'm telling you, when you watch them tomorrow, you're going to say Cal wasn't BS, and they're good. They got two players that shoot 20 threes per game between them, two. And if you don't keep an eye on them, all of a sudden, they make seven straight threes. Woo! A little different ball game.
The incredible thing about that, he said all of that before the game. And he called his shot. He was right. He going back to his point about, hey, Romy, the thing about Kentucky fans is that they are engaged. They're engaged. That or they're enraged, Cal. Engaged. Enraged, tomato, tomato. They're engaged. They're engaged, all right. A lot of them are engaged in hating you. Not me, Cal. I got you. Now, again, if you get beat in the first round by a 14 or a 15, I will come there and drive you to the airport myself, my man. And even then, I think you would not disagree, Cal. You know. You know the standard. I'm saying I still believe in him. You are now free to move about the gun. He's still recruiting. He knows he came up short. He knows he has to change. And I believe that he can make those changes, and he wants to be there. And again, who are you going to replace him with? BBN, I started the show with you, so feel free to get your ass on the phone and react. Are all of you against this? Do some of you still believe? I'll tell you who believes, man. Boogie.
Everything that Calipari brings to the
Cousins, what's good?
It's going to go down if they replace
Cousins,
him.
What's good?
Everything is going down.
I disagree with that.
What's good, fat boy?
He loves him. He loves Cal. The players do.
Krispy Kreme, fat boy.
He just said it. Everything is going down. Not just the recruiting. Everything is going down.
Everything that Calipari brings to a program is going to go down if they replace this guy. Everything is going down.
I don't think that he's some hot take artist looking to go viral. Man, he loves his guy. He loves his program. I know it. You know it. You know that I know it because I saw Boogie in the streets of Las Vegas. Rex Chapman and I had a great re-up on that part of the conversation in the podcast that we did. Rex had forgotten that. Rex had forgotten that he had brokered a meeting between Boogie and I one night in the streets of Las Vegas after a few adult beverages. I had to remind Rex of that. Rex has got like this incredible memory for all things, but for some reason, he forgot about that.
boy.
Let me just say, Boogie's impassioned. Boogie is very tall and he's very impassioned. And we had a moment. We had a good moment in the streets. But he definitely does not want Cal to go. All right, so in addition to all of that, I want to start right there because that's a topic that is news. And we're in the middle of the madness. Got an update on Cringerous. I know the new popular take is there's no way even that guy is that corny. There's no way even that guy is that cringy. Even that guy would not lift with sunglasses on. He's doing it on purpose. He knows. He's trying to get a reaction. He's in on it, finally. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think he might really be that guy. I think he might really be that one guy to wear sunglasses while getting his pump in and then posting it. He might be just that corny. But I'll lay that out and then I'll let you decide. Is he now just trolling us or is he really that much of a corn dog? Also, we'll get into the big, big gambling scandal. Nope, not the one relating to Shohei, but the one relating to Jonte. Yeah, no red flags there. 1-800-636, very red flag. That's as red as a flag gets. 1-800-636-8686. Devondre Sweat coming up at 9:40. Sam Fold, VP and GM of the Philadelphia Phillies, right after that at the top of the hour. I love this. Sports fans, are you ready to take your game to the next level? Introducing Prize Picks. America's number one fantasy sports app. With over 3 million active members, Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. As an example, Alvy and I won yesterday. Nice job, Alvy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Way to get us paid, Alvy. You see, Ipe, you should have rolled with us. You can win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. Turn $10 into $1,000 with pro basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, Prize Picks has something for every sports fan. And with injury insurance, your entries stay in play even if your player gets injured. Download the app today. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code ROME on Prize Picks. For a deposit match of up to $100, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Alvy got us paid yesterday. And in fact, Alvy will be back with another selection in hour number 3. So look for that. You do have to be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So I'm getting some reaction from the BBN and some reaction from the non-BBN. This guy, for example, Rome. BBN is just the latest example of an out-of-touch, idiot fan base. One-game elimination is the hardest thing ever, and there's always a chance you lose. This is not the NBA playoffs, morons. Cal showed at times that this team could be Final Four good. He showed that. Had he not shown that upside, then we have a conversation. But that's not the case. Also, the grass ain't always greener. Ask Nebraska football, you BBN kooks. You're bitching about having the best collection of talent in all the NBA coming through this guy. Enjoy the Tubby Smith and Billy Gillespie days. Have you already forgotten? You entitled backcountry weirdos. Wow, that's a little harsh. This goes on. That's what you deserve. Cal always has been good for you. He did you a favor by saving that program. And this is how you do him? With idiot, entitled, out-of-touch logic. Jay in Denver. Damn, Jay. Are you related to the guy? Is that Jay in Denver or is that Boogie? Boogie in Denver. Is that Jay in Denver? Or Cal's mom? Quote, you entitled backcountry weirdos? Your mom. Hey, Jay, whoever the hell you are. I've been back there. They're not, quote, entitled backcountry weirdos. Maybe one or two of them. But you can find an entitled backcountry weirdo in every single pocket of every single town in America. Every city, even. Every city has one. A backcountry weirdo. The BBN collectively, though, I would not describe as backcountry weirdos. But I would say some are out of touch. Let's see what else we got here. Sean in Wichita. Cal just put a pinch of poop in the BBN's ice cream.
There's a bucket of poop and there's a bucket of ice cream. You can put all the ice cream in that poop that you want. It doesn't change it. But one little pinch of that poop in that ice cream ruins that ice cream. And I'll tell a guy, you, my man, are the poop in our ice cream.
That analogy always cracks me up. Just like Sean, who said Cal just put a pinch of poop in the BBN's ice cream bucket. Keep in mind, this is from Bong Rips 420 writes, Kentucky fans are engaged. Engaged to their cousins. Heyo, Bong Rip. Yo, Bong Rip. I have another Bong Rip. At Bill 0467. Hey, Jim. It's River Tucky. Half of them are probably engaged to their sibling. Listen, if you want to have a basketball conversation, let's have a Alvin, that's not helping me. If you want to have a basketball conversation, let's have a basketball conversation. Let's stop talking about them being engaged to their siblings. And then, for all you morons saying that, have you ever been to Kentucky? I have. Many times. Have you ever been to Kentucky? Probably not. All right, now this guy, although I don't agree necessarily, this guy at least tries to make the point. Romy, Cal will not change. He came on your show last week, and he bragged about having two top five draft picks coming off his bench and how they didn't complain about it. Well, we all are. Not sure that's something to brag about. Start the best players. Chad B. Now, that's a conversation we can have. That's a better conversation than, hey, Rome, why do you even care? Why are you listening? Quote, they're all engaged to their cousins. I'd say it'd be a pretty good place to start. Maybe they play a little defense. Maybe they don't let some guy playing his first year of Division I ball knock in 10 threes. When you knew going into that game that defense was an issue. And you knew that he was going to chuck threes because that's all he does. That he took hundreds of shots this year, all beyond the arc. And like, I think, only two 2-pointers the entire year. The guy has fewer than 10 shots inside the arc for his career. Pretty sure that dude was going to be shooting it from beyond the arc. Maybe you close out. Maybe you get out. Maybe you stick a hand on this guy's face. I don't know, right around the time he rattled in number 7. Anyway, my point is, I don't think Cal is saying, y'all shut the hell up. I know what I'm doing. It ain't broke. He knows. He's earned the right to fix it. And if he can't get it fixed and they have the same thing happen again, then you, quote, run his ass down. All right, when we come back, your telephone calls, if they're good enough. Devontae Sweat joins me next. Talk a little football. Sam Full, top of the hour. Talk a little baseball. Then we are wide open the rest of the way. First up, though, here is a bottom of the hour sports update like we always do. Here's Andrew Bogish.
CBS Sports.
live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. Got a couple of interviews for you. Good ones, back to back. And then plenty of time for those phone calls. Right now, we're joined by an NFL draft prospect. He is a defensive tackle. He played 5 years for the Texas Longhorns. Last year, he won the Outland Trophy as college football's best interior lineman. He also was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, a unanimous All-American. In other words, he had a hell of a year. Hell of a college career. And now he's getting ready to take the next step. We are joined right now by Tevondre Sweat. Tevondre, what's up? It's good to have you on. How you feeling?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How about you?
Man, I'm great. It's an honor. Thank you for having me join.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. I appreciate you making time for me. That's very cool. So we're less than a month away from a night that you grew up watching on TV, you've spent your entire life dreaming about and working towards. What's it all feel like right now?
It just feel like this is what I've been working for. Like, I've been working all my life for the moment to get my name called, and I got a month away, so it's just unbelievable and exciting.
Yeah, so I wonder about that time before or between the end of the season and where we are right now. Like, how did you feel about your work at the Combine and your Pro Day? Do you feel like you accomplished what you set out to do in those two settings?
Yes, sir, I did. After Combine and, like, Senior Bowl, Pro Day, like, I just feel completed, you know? I mean, like I said, I've been working this hard for these type of moments. And when the moments came, I did what I had to do. So I feel like I feel completed, and now I'm just waiting for my name to get called.
Tevondre Sweat joining us. You know, it's got to help to have a family member that has gone through it before. Your older brother, Josh, played college ball at Florida State. He was a Pro Bowler for the Philadelphia Eagles. What is the best advice that he's given you as you prepare to make that transition from the college game to the pros?
I don't know who put out, that's my brother. We're trying to figure out if we're cousins.
All right, so you guys are cousins, so not brothers.
We're not even related, I don't believe.
You're not?
No.
I thought you guys were blood brothers.
No, sir.
Not at all. Well, okay, do you know him? Do you guys have a relationship? Has he given you some advice?
No, I don't know him like that. We only text like one time.
I got some bad info. My bad then. All right, so despite that fact, even if you don't know him and even if you're not related to him, you still had a great college career, but it doesn't matter who you are. This is the time where folks will be looking to poke holes in your game and come up with negative stuff because they do for everybody. Some analysts were concerned about your weight, that you could come in as high as 380, but do you feel like you stopped all that by coming in at 366?
Yeah, I feel like I stopped it because at the Pro Day. Because at Pro Day, I feel like everybody was expecting me to be 375 to 380. I maintain my weight. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And all I could do is just keep shocking and keep doing what people think I can't do.
And listen, that's part of it, right? And then not only that, but if that didn't take care of that, the fact that you ran a 5.27 40 had to have, how confident were you coming in that you would run that well?
I was very confident. I mean, shout out to BC, man. He helped me get that, you know. We trained every day for the moment, and I knew I was going to run that, but a lot of people most likely probably was going to run a little slower. And that's why I said I was going to shock a lot of people. And I feel like I did. And like I said, I feel completed. So
we are talking to Tevondre Sweat. Listen, sex sells. So do sacks. You got your share of sacks. How much pride, though, do you take in knowing the teams had to reconfigure their running games completely to try to avoid you?
Yeah, it's not even all about me. Our coach always told us we always want to make a team one-dimensional. And when you can make a team one-dimensional, then all you got to do is worry about, like, pass rush and stuff like that, you know? So So that was our biggest thing, is making the team one-dimensional. So I won't even just praise me. I praise my teammates next to me, because I wouldn't even have the season or the right to even get to talk to you if it wasn't for my teammates next to me. So I give all praises to those guys.
I get that. Respect. I can even help you with that. I can talk about another teammate. How about Byron Murphy, the second? He's also an NFL prospect. He's rising up draft boards. How hard did the two of you push each other, and how much better are each of you for it?
I mean, everybody that Coach Bo had in the D-line room, we all pushed each other. It wasn't just me and him. We all pushed each other. And I don't know why he's – I mean, Murph is like, now people starting to see, like, he's been dominant, explosive, a great player. You know what I mean? I don't know why people – I was here like, oh, he's – just now started going up the draft board. He should have been up. He's one of the best defensive tackles in the draft right now. If not the best defensive tackle in the draft right now. So.
Hey, T, what do you make of all that? Like, so these things are out of your control. You can't control what people say. You can't control what people write. You can't control me saying you're related to somebody that you're not. So, what do you make of all that? Why do you think only now people are seeing how good Byron Murphy is?
I'm not sure. But what makes – I feel like me and Murph, like, we get all the praises, you know? Like that's great. But, like, I feel like people – like I said all the time, people always misled. Me and Murph wouldn't have the season if it wasn't for the guys next to us. And I could just leave it there because, like, yeah, me and Murph, yeah, we did this or that. But, like, we wouldn't be able to do it without the guys next to us. So I'm just going to leave that there.
Dude, you made that pretty clear. That, like, stop trying to give one person credit or two guys credit. Man, we're all in this. We are a team.
Football.
It's football. Like, how much of this is that this is the way you came up, and how much of this is Longhorn culture?
I mean, I was already been taught, like basketball. One guy can win a game in basketball. Football, you need a team. And that's why football is always preached. Team, team, team. And our number one thing was to protect the team. It's all about team and football, because once the team have a success, then you have the individual success.
You know, Longhorn fans have been saying for years, Texas is back, Texas is back. When, you know, for a time that was not the case, but your team, this group, turned it into a reality, especially this year. You win the Big 12 championship. You get to the college football playoff. You had that epic Sugar Bowl game against Washington. So what's it mean to you and the team to have played such a role in transforming a program with so much history into a national power once again?
Oh, it feels amazing. I mean, our coach always preached on just Coach Stark, I was just believing and trusting in him, and we'll do great things. And the players realized, like, we all realized that we had something special. And so we all took accountability in the offseason to believe, trust, and getting to know each other. And getting to know each other has been, like, because you're playing with your brother. That's like your brother, your right hand. If you can't trust your brother, then how y'all going to play together? You know what I mean? So we always preached on just getting to know each other and believing and trusting in each other.
So how'd you guys go about getting to know each other? For instance, is that just during work in the weight room? Is it doing stuff away from the facility?
Yeah, we did all that. But really what helped was Coach Sark. He did a Cultural Wednesday. It was Cultural Wednesday. And that is like where we take football away, and we get in small groups every Wednesday, and different groups every Wednesday, and getting to know each other and stuff like that.
So, like, give me an example. Like, on a Cultural Wednesday, what would you guys do? Like, when you think of that, what do you remember?
It'll be like, we're getting like a little small circle. Uh-huh. People tell each other, like, something about their life nobody ever knew.
Like vulnerability stuff.
Yes, sir.
I get that. He is an NFL draft prospect. He is an Outland Trophy winner, a unanimous All-American, and the big man can move now. He's fast and strong. Devondre Sweat, my guest. T, appreciate you. That was a fun interview, dude. Appreciate you. Enjoy the next month as you wait to find out where you're going to live and work. And then once you do, I'm going to run you down again.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
It's an honor to have you, dude. That was fun. Devondre Sweat joining us. I love it. Good stuff. That's a big dude who ran a 5.29. 5.27. 5.27. I don't want him to correct me on that, too. 5.27. All right. Hope you enjoyed that. I did. That was fun. I love him. I actually love him. That was a fun, different conversation. He could play now. Best interior lineman in college football. Unanimous All-American. And not wanting to take credit for anything at all. Like, when I said to him, yo, Byron Murphy the second's rising up draft boards, that was almost a reason to go. Like, why? Why is he rising up draft boards now? He's the best D lineman in college football. That whole thing was great. That was I appreciated that big man energy and that pride. All right, when we come back, change up. I want your thoughts on that. Lex Vegas is coming in. They're not in agreement with me, apparently. That's cool. That's fine. I know you're upset. I know you're upset. However, you do know that he's got a bunch of five stars coming in. Stop acting like this is Matt Doherty who ran North Carolina into the ground.